things anew. Lord, I thank you tonight for these wonderful people in this room. Lord God, they're the backbone of the church, Sunday night, Wednesday night crowds. Lord, thank you. They're the best. Lord, we give you praise and honor and glory. And Lord, we just say thank you for this morning. What a day. What we said every Sunday night. What a Sunday morning. Lord, thank you. And Lord, for all our Sunday schools, Keith and Peggy, Suzanne, and all those that fill in and do things, and Emerald and Dan and Paige over there. Lord, precious, precious times. And Lord God, we ask that you keep our youth leaders and our Sunday school teachers and all, keep them strong, Lord God, and cause them to be filled with the Holy Ghost and inspired by you. And we give you honor for it. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said amen. So, without further ado, I think Jerry has a song that's going to be played. So, I'll introduce our speaker, Mr. Lynn Morgan. Oh! He's not. Hey, and his beautiful wife, Melody's here tonight. Yeah, amen, amen. Boy, I tell you what, Melody makes him look so much better. Amen. You won't get a better amen than that tonight, Jerry, probably. But anyway, we're so glad all of you are here. You're not a visitor, but we're glad you're here. Amen. So praise God. So you ready for the song?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay, Doug. Oh, time out. Father, as we enter into this time, Lord God, of worship, we do so, Lord, with a humble heart, but with great anticipation and great joy to worship you. Lord, thank you for loving us, and we love you back.
Open every door, search near and far, turning over every stone. I close my eyes, still I find no rest, no rest for a restless heart. All I've been chasing, putting my faith in, let it fade, let it break into pieces. Just give me Jesus,
Jesus.
Just give me Jesus. There's nothing I desire that can't be found in you. You're everything that I've ever needed. Just give me Jesus. Take all my pride, my dreams, my plans, this house I built on troubled sand. If I gained the world, it would never be, it could never be enough. Just give me Jesus,
Jesus.
Just give me Jesus. There's nothing that can't be found in you. You're everything that I've ever needed. Just give me Jesus. Oh, just give me Jesus. Oh. All of my searching, trying to be perfect, all the fears, all the lies I believe, I've been chasing, putting my faith in, let it fade, let it fall into pieces.
Yeah, yeah.
And just give me Jesus.
You are life, you are hope.
Just give me Jesus.
You are love, you are all that I want.
There's nothing I desire that can't be found in you. You're
Jesus.
Well, praise God, everybody. Amen. Just give me Jesus. Nothing any better, right? Nobody, no, nothing. Nothing. No thing is better than Jesus. Praise God. I thank Pastor Jimmy for asking me to bring the message tonight. We are live streaming, praise God. We ain't going to be doing more of that as the day goes. But Lord, give me a word this morning for an individual. And it was simply, you are so much more than you believe you are. And God wants you to know that tonight. You are so much more than you think you are in Him. You are so much more in Jesus than you think you are. Because He's got so much more for you. Tonight, Brother Jimmy preached this morning. Well, wasn't preaching long, but it was profound what he said. He's talking about basically knowing who you are. We need to know who we are in Christ and just know without a doubt that God's got our back. And I'm going to make a statement, and you, some people need to get a hold of this before we get into the message. Did you know that you were made the righteousness of God? God, Jesus made you right. The word righteousness is just simply, to put simply, you have been made right with God. Did you know you cannot be more righteous than you are now if you're saved? You cannot be any less righteous than you are now. You cannot change. Jesus made you right. That means you are right. You can become more holy. Or as Pastor would say, you can become more spiritual. Spiritual, I can't say it quite like he does. You can grow in grace and knowledge. You can fall back. You can do a lot of things, but you will always be right after Jesus made you right. Isn't that good to know?
Amen.
Nothing's going to change that. My feelings don't change it. My attitude don't change it. My stupidity don't change it. Thank God for that. Because I'm not preaching on that tonight. Boy, I could. It's like right here. I've been preaching on it for the last 4 or 5 weeks. Every Tuesday at work, we've been talking about who we are in Christ. And man, I'm telling you, it's flowing in me. And we need to know. So you are made right.
Yes, we are.
And you'll never be more right than you are right now if you're saved. If you're His child. But you got to be His child to be right. Jesus has got to make you right. I can't make myself right. I may tell my wife I'm right. But that don't work. She knows better. Because she's always right.
Yeah, there you go.
But Jesus made me right. He made me right with Him. Now, I may be wrong when I do something or I may be wrong, but I am right with Jesus and I'm right with God. And you are too. Somebody needed to hear that today. Somebody on Facebook Live. I hope people are joining in and sharing the Facebook Live. It's very important. Tonight, though, we're going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. As a lot of you know, I used to be a denominational pastor. A long time ago, it seems like. It just hadn't been that long ago. We pastored for 22 years, roughly 20 years in Free Will Baptist Church. I'm not just going to say it. Great church, great people, love them. Nothing wrong with them. They're great folks. But the denominational world is missing something. And I'm just going to be point blank and blunt. You're missing the baptism of the Holy Ghost if you're denominational. And you may be sitting in this congregation and have not experienced the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you need it. I think everybody has. But I don't know, because you never know what's going on. You just may be saved. And being saved is the best. Don't get me wrong. That's the number one thing. You can't go better than being saved. That helmet of salvation is so important. Amen. That's the most important thing in your life is salvation. I want you to get a hold of that. That I am right with God. Yes. He made me right. He has taken my sins and said, they're gone.
Right.
They're forgiven. Now, if I sin again, now I need to repent. Don't get me wrong. I do need to do that. But I'm talking about salvation. I have been made right. Praise God. Amen. I have become His child. Yes. I'm His. And He is mine. So I'm saved. So, but there's something about the baptism of the Holy Ghost that you need to know tonight. That Facebook Live, if you're watching this either live or coming up, watching it after the fact, you need to know that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is separate from salvation. The Lord kind of instructed me on how to do this tonight and what to say and what to do, and then we're going to follow His instruction, not mine. Because I know what I would do. I would preach on being made right. But the Holy Spirit wants us to go this route, and then we're going to go that route. And thank God for a pastor that will be with me and back me up the whole way, I believe. And I know him well enough that I know he's 100% behind it. Yes, sir. So his tongue's real.
Yes.
And speaking in tongues real,
yes.
Well, yeah, most of y'all say, yeah. There are a lot of people that go, no. So tonight, the object of this lesson, we have an objective. And I may, as Brother Lynn say, I can't hardly teach, I go to preaching. So if I go to preaching, y'all just hang in there with me, because there's only difference between preaching is teaching is preaching is or teaching is telling and preaching is yelling. So that's the only difference between preaching and teaching. Preaching, you're teaching, you're talking. Preaching, you're yelling. So I may be yelling a little bit, but we'll be good.
Yeah.
Just a few statistics before we go on. Well, not really statistics. Some things have been found out by a doctor from Oral Roberts University, studied gift of tongues, the speaking in tongues. Did you know the only time that your brain releases two certain chemicals that boost your immune system is when you're praying in tongues? The Bible tells us that in 1 Corinthians 14:4, if you want to go there, if we could get the Bible up on the screen, that it boosts us up, right? He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. So when we're praying in an unknown tongue, it is a different language. The Bible, the study also proved that when we're praying in tongues, our frontal lobe is inactive. When I'm talking, like I am now, it's active. But if I start praying in tongues, my frontal lobe goes inactive, which is really cool because Holy Spirit is speaking through us. So I'm going to just give you a few little things before we get into the sermon. it reduces stress. Isn't that cool?
Amen.
Now, I'm going to be honest. Yesterday, when we were under tornado warning, my phone went off and we get that red call. Or whatever it's called, it's the whatever, we get the phone call when it's coming towards your house, right? My phone went off and you need to be in your tornado safe place, blah, blah, blah. Yes, then you need to, God give us enough sense to be not stupid, right?
Amen.
Get in your safe place. Well, we had 2 minutes, not enough time to go to a safe place. So what I do, I walk out on the front porch, I'm listening for the tornado. You know, men, we're not. You know, that's why women live longer than men. Men are just not smart sometimes. But I go out on the front porch and I'm listening for the tornado because I've heard them before, seen them. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit come on me and I started praying in another language. And it got intense and got serious and it got quick. And all of a sudden, it said, the house started shaking. And I don't think tornado was there, but I think it went north of us. And praise God, it didn't touch our house, didn't we? Amen. Didn't have nothing go wrong. Well, was that God? Yeah, I think so.
Amen.
But there was no stress involved. After, I mean, a tornado bearing down on you, and you praying in tongues on the front porch. Why? Why have you got that? Because God has given us something special called the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Right. Right.
Not bragging on me, I'm bragging on God. Because I wasn't doing the praying. My right. spirit man was praying. The Holy Ghost in me was praying. So, see, it reduces stress, and it reduced a lot of stress. It did. We know what God's going to do. We know God's going to honor His Word.
Yes.
Oh. The researchers found that 80% who practiced the gift of tongues or speaking in tongues had greater emotional stability and less neurological problems. That's hard to say. Isn't that cool? Okay, so we know, we still ain't preaching yet. We're teaching now. This study is out on YouTube, by the way. You can go listen to the news report. All you got to do is speaking in tongues medically affirmed. They couldn't say proven. They have to affirm it because you can't, you know, they couldn't use the language. But there's a lot more involved in tongues, and I'm not going to cover all that because we are Facebook Live, and I want to get into the message. Did you know it was prophesied that speaking in tongues would happen? Did you know that? Anybody know where it's at? It's in the book of Isaiah, chapter 28, verse 11. Isaiah 28, 11, if you can go there for us, please. Tongues was prophesied. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he, talking about God, speak to his people. Go to verse 12. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing that they would not hear. So people won't hear this, but look what it does to us.
Amen.
Look what God speaking through us and to us through the gift of tongues does. It says, this is the rest that comes into your life, that you it may cause the weary to rest. And God even, and God knows this stuff before people can figure it out, right? And this is the refreshing. Anybody know what Jude verse 20 says? There is not building, but you beloved, who's he talking to? The church. Building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Building yourselves up. Building yourselves up, praying in the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is real. It was prophesied. It was said that it would build you up and give you rest. We heard medical studies say that it improves your immune system. It brings peace of mind. It brings peace of heart. It brings all those things to you. So is this thing real? Well, I mean, God said it, right? If God said it, it's real. So to all my denominational brothers and sisters, because that's who you are, you're saved, I know you are, this is real. You may not like hearing it. This is real. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost is separate from salvation. It is a separate experience with God. And we're going to prove it tonight through the Word of God. And we're going to prove it. So we're going to book of Acts chapter 8 verse, well, let's see when I get there. Acts chapter 8. You know Acts is right after the Gospels, right? Sometimes in my Bible it's not there. I don't know why. Acts chapter 8, and let's start with verse 5. Verse 5, please. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached who?
Christ.
Preached who? The Christ, the anointing. Preached Christ unto them. Verse 6. And the people with one accord gave heed. They done what? They gave heed. They heard. They used these things. But what happened? They gave heed unto those things which Philip spake. They listened. Hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Oh boy, as Brother Jimmy said more times than I can count, the miracles are the dinner bell to the lost. Okay, that's what happened. Verse 7. For unclean spirits came out, crying with a loud voice, came out of them that were possessed with them. Many were taken with palsies, and they that were lame were healed. Boy, isn't that something?
Yes, sir.
From the preaching, see, you can't do that unless you're baptized with the Holy Ghost. We know the apostles spoke in tongues, right?
Amen.
Anybody read Acts chapter 2? And they were all in one place in one accord in the upper room. And cloven tongues of fire came on them, right? And they all spake with other tongues. So we know they did. So the baptism of the Holy Ghost, let me give you a breakdown, is different than salvation. Salvation, you get the Holy Spirit in you. You do. And everybody says, well, you're saying I don't have the Holy Spirit in me, but you do have Him in you if you're saved. But you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit. There's a difference. You're not immersed in the presence and the power of God. See, that's the difference between being saved and being baptized. In being saved, you have Holy Spirit in you. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you have Holy Spirit upon you. And there's a difference. Holy Spirit in you will help lead, guide, and direct you, but Holy Spirit upon you will empower you. It will give the authority and the power to do what to happen here. For unclean spirits came out, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed. You can lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. You can cast out devils. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's upon you.
That's
right. He is on you. He is with you. He is leading you. He is protecting you. He has empowered you. Now verse 8, please. And there was great joy in this city. So what happened here? So we know that they were people healed, delivered, set free, right? Okay. Verse 12. Let's go there. I want to nail something down. But when they believed Philip preaching, they what?
Believe.
They believed. What does it take to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus with all your heart.
Right.
Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, now shall be saved. Believe in your heart, right? That's what it says. Romans chapter 10. Every denominational person, every Christian ought to know the Romans road to salvation, because it tells you in chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, what it takes to be saved. And simply believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead, now shall be saved. Simple, simple, simple. So these people were saved, right? Y'all all agree with me on that?
Yes, sir.
Can you agree with me that they were saved?
Yes.
All right. And they were what? They were baptized.
Right.
So salvation is followed by what? Baptism.
Right.
We know the Word teaches that. Not just here, but in other places. Peter, when he preached on the day of Pentecost, said, "Repent ye, therefore, every one of you," verse 38 of Acts chapter 2, "and be baptized." Repent and be baptized. What? Get saved and get baptized, and then you're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. What it says, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Read it, read it, read it. I'm telling you, it's there. Acts 2, 38, it says, repent, be baptized, and you'll be saved. So there's one witness, right? Here's number two. Here's witness number two. It says, if two or three things, if you have to have two witnesses to approve something, right? To prove something in the Word. I agree. I think you do. You cannot take one verse and make a doctrine on it. So, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, the Word has to be established. So, they were baptized, they believed, they were saved, they were baptized. So I hope you get this, Facebook, because I'm telling you, that's what it says. This is the Word. I'm reading King James. If you don't like King James, read something else, and it's going to tell you the same thing. They believed and were baptized. They were saved and were baptized. Okay. Then verse 13, Simon himself believed also. When he was baptized, he continued, with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Verse 14. Now, when the apostles heard, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. Now, wait a minute. They heard something. What did they hear? They heard that they had received, that's a key word there, the word of God. So that means they had been, they received the word, believed the word, and were baptized. So you cannot tell me these people were not saved already. I mean, it's plain simple right there in black and white. And orange, because I have my orange highlighter there. Verse 15. Whom, when they were come down, talking about the apostles, prayed for them that they might what? Might receive the Holy Ghost. Wait a minute. Wait just a doggone minute. These folks were already saved. They already followed Jesus in baptism. Why did they need to be baptized? Why did they might need to receive the Holy Ghost? Why? Why? Because Jesus said, John baptized you with water, but I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Different from salvation, but Jesus said he's going to do it. So the apostles had been saved. They had received the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. So now everybody found out this was so important. The apostles, everywhere they went, I'm going to prove it in the Word, went and prayed for people that they would receive the Holy Ghost. Right. You need to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Right. Super important. And when they were come down, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Next verse, please. For as yet he was... Oh, listen. Listen. He was fallen upon none of them. He, who is he? He is the Holy Spirit. Was what? Fallen on none of them. The Holy Spirit upon you. Right? He was fallen upon none of them. Only they that were already baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Some had been baptized and had received the Holy Ghost. But they came down to pray for the others that it had not happened to, because they had seen the signs and wonders. Verse 17. And when what? Then they laid hands upon them, and they what? Received the Holy Ghost. Verse 18. Okay. Now, how did we know that they got filled with the Holy Ghost? Because listen to what happens here. They knew that they got filled with the Holy Ghost because they saw something. And when Simon saw that through laying on the apostle's hand the Holy Ghost was given, he offered him money. Well, now Simon is a whole different sermon. So there had to be some kind of evidence that they were filled with the Holy Ghost, right? Because you can't see or hear nothing unless there's something there to see and hear. So we have proven one place, Acts chapter 8, that the Holy Ghost is real. And that is separate from salvation. Let's go to Acts chapter 10. Hope y'all are taking notes, because you can teach somebody this. If you don't, get the CD. Just go to podcasting. It's a whole lot simpler. Search for Faith Outreach Oklahoma on podcast and you can get it. Well, it'll be a day or two before I get it out there, but you can get it then. And if Brother Jimmy ever get to preach more than 2 seconds... Oh, I might put some of his sermons out there. Just kidding. There's a bunch of his sermons out there. Praise God. But Holy Spirit knows better than we do. And when the Holy Spirit moves, you just follow Him. You just follow Him and let the Holy Spirit do what He's going to do. Whether if anybody gets to preach or not, I've always heard people say, man, that was a good sermon. The preacher never got to say a word. That was a good service. The preacher never said nothing. I'm like, that sounds terrible. Because Holy Spirit is going to be in any of it, whether there's preaching or whether there's just the good old time like we had this morning with the things going on. That was God. I'm telling you, God is so good. And I say, I don't put those things out on Facebook or on podcasts, because there's really no way for anybody to understand that's not here. So, and that was free. Y'all don't have to pay for that one. Amen. Verse 34, chapter 10 of Acts. Thank you. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." So Peter just had a vision. Anybody know what happened in the vision? The sheet was sent down from heaven. Y'all know the story? You can go back to verse 9 if you want to read the whole chapter, but I'm running out of time, so I know I'm not on a time constraint, but you lose people after an hour or two. So so I'm going to try to keep it under an hour. There was a sheet let down, and on that sheet was all different kind of animals. And God told Peter, "Take and eat." Peter said, "Nope, I'm not eating anything unclean. Not going to do it. No way, no how am I going to eat anything unclean." God said, "What I've cleaned, what I've given you, don't ever call common or unclean." Right. I'm like, whew, that's pretty good. He wasn't talking about the food. No. He was talking about the Gentile nation that Peter was going to, the Gentile people. Cornelius is who he's going to, had been praying. Cornelius was a great man of God, or a great man. He had paid alms. You'll see it in here. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but at every nation that he feared." Well, Peter got a hold of that, didn't he? He said, "Every nation, that includes the Gentiles, they feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted in him. For the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching the peace of Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all." Then he goes down to verse 38. I'm going to not read it all. Peter talking to Cornelius and his household. "How God anointed Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, with the Holy Ghost." Wait a minute. Jesus had the Holy Ghost? Oh, yes, he did. Anybody remember when John baptized Jesus? Anybody remember what happened? A dove came down from heaven and spoke, "This is my beloved Son." So Jesus was filled with the Holy Ghost. He was baptized with the Holy Ghost. That's what all that was about. And that's good stuff. I'm not teaching that tonight. "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power." With what? So you can't have the Holy Ghost without power. And you can't have power without the Holy Ghost. Those two are synonymous with each other. So, healing all, well, he went about doing good, healing all that was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Let's go on down just a little bit. I tell you what, we'll go to 43, then 44. I'm trying to skip some stuff. "To whom," or "to him, give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive" what? Remission of sins. Believeth, right? Cornelius and his family had sent for Peter because Cornelius had a vision. And in that vision, he said, "You got to go find Peter. You got to go send for him." And Peter's preaching salvation right there. "To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin." Boom. He's saved. They're saved just right then. Because they had believed on him. That's salvation. Look what happened in verse 44 though. While Peter yet spake these words. I love that. "The Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word." Now, how did they know the Holy Ghost fell on them? You can't see Holy Spirit. You can feel him. You can hear him. Amen, brother. But you can't see him. I got Holy Ghost in me. It would look funny if there was two of me standing here. My wife's going, "Oh, please no." I can't. I barely put up with the one I got. I don't need two of them. Verse 45. "And they of the circumcision," the Gentile, the Jews were there, "which believed were astonished," shocked, amazed. "As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles That's me. That's you. As Ewens is, as we would say around in Mississippi, was also poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now wait, how do they know? How do they know? How do you know? I got a friend of mine that I get so tickled at him. How do it know? he's funny. You got to know him. He's a mechanical engineer. He's super smart. And we was talking about a computer, and I'm the computer guy, and he's the mechanical side. He's like, how do it know what to do? And okay, so how do they know? Verse 46. For they heard them speak with tongues. Tongues is languages. And magnified God. So wait a minute now. So this is two places, right? Two different places, two different scriptures, two different chapters, if you will. Because this wasn't written in chapter and verse. I know this is going to blow some people's minds. They're Peter, John, and Paul did not write them and go, hey, chapter 2. And then keep writing, okay? This was a letter. And this was written by Luke. Verse 47. What happened then? Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which received the Holy Ghost as well as we? They knew they received the Holy Ghost because they what?
Heard them.
They heard them do what? Speak in tongues. But they were saved first because he said that you got to believe, then you get filled with the Holy Ghost. Now that all can happen at one time. You can get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost all at one time. I've seen it happen. Or you can get saved in Sunday school and get filled in the Holy Ghost standing right over there. Because that happened the other day and we saw it. And God knows. See, we need to understand, church. When I say church, I'm talking to every denomination, everybody's listening in this congregation and on Facebook Live. That salvation is the best thing. But if you want the authority and the power to tread over serpents, if you want the authority and the power to walk in the presence and the goodness and the authority of God to cast out devils, if you drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt you. If you want to walk in Mark 16, if you want to walk in Mark 16, you got to be filled with the Holy Ghost as well as we. You got to be. See, it says as well as we were. The same way as the day on Pentecost. The same day, the same way as the day of Pentecost, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. The exact same thing happened, Nick, because they heard them speak with tongues. Now, I'm running blind. I'm either long-winded or we started late. I don't know. Chapter 19. And I have 30 minutes, or I have 20 minutes every Tuesday to preach. 20 minutes is all I got. You know how hard that is? To get in what you got to preach in 20 minutes? It is not easy, not for me anyway. And I used to be a 15-minute preacher, and I'd be done. Not anymore. Good grief, not anymore. I think it's the baptism of the Holy Ghost, man. It's made me a little more authority. Verse 1. Of Acts chapter 19. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus finding disciples. Okay, number one, they were disciples. Is that what it says? Go to verse 2, please. And our sound team and Karen and everybody up there who's running. That's Doug up there. Hey, Doug. You're doing a great job keeping up with me. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you what? Say it again.
Believe.
Have you received what?
The Holy Ghost.
Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Since you what? So they were what? Saved. Don't you love that?
Yeah.
They were saved. Okay, now you that are following along on Facebook and you that may not believe this, I have brought you nothing but the Word. Nothing but the Word. If you're out in the congregation, there's nothing but the Word here. So, and it came to pass while they were there He said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you what? Believed. And they said unto him, and this is so many people in this world right now, and this is why God instructed me to do the Facebook Live tonight. Yes. This is the exact reason why he told me to do this, because I have a lot of denominational friends that I love, and we're good friends, and I trust them, and they trust me, and they know that I'm not some stupid, crazy nut that's bringing in some kind of any old doctrine. They know me.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit instructed me specifically to put it on Facebook tonight, because you need to know that this is something you need, because this is something that is real. And if it wasn't real, I'd guarantee you, I'd tell you.
Amen.
Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Since you've been saved? And they said, we have not heard of the Holy Spirit. We have not heard about this baptism. Wouldn't you want more of God?
Yes.
See, that's the thing. I want everything God's got.
Right.
I don't want to back off, back down, or slow down.
Amen.
If God's got it, I want it.
Amen.
I don't want to, I'm telling you folks, we got to want and press in to the things that God has for us. And if God's got more for you, then you ought to want what God's got.
Right.
See, and I'm telling you, you got to want salvation or you would never get saved.
Right.
You got to come to the realization that you need Jesus.
Right.
But now you need to come to the realization that you need Holy Spirit to baptize you.
Right.
And to make you the Christian that has the authority and the power and the ability to do what God's called you to do. It changes you. It changes your life. I'm going to share. I got filled with the Holy Ghost when I was 24-ish. Sandy, you remember when I come home from the church service and I didn't have a clue what I had. I was greener than a, I don't know. I was green. A banana that you buy at Walmart nowadays. Didn't have a clue what I had. Going to a church that was denominational, it's okay. And stayed there. Stayed there. Pastored there. Not knowing what I had. I'd go to churches and I'd go to other churches that were not Baptist or Methodist. And do revivals and things like that. And I'd go to Church of God, Assembly of God, and I was going to all kinds of churches. And they'd be like, because they didn't know I was filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, I didn't even know what I really had. And shoot, guy come up, and I believed in laying on hands. That was one thing we did believe in. We believed in the whole laying on hands. I was at a non-denominational church. Man, I got to preaching, and I was throwing down. And I said, is there anybody sick that needs prayer? And this guy comes walking up, he had a big cut on his hand. I believe back then, I just didn't know what I had. I laid hands on him, he hit the floor like a rock, and I freaked out. I'm like, whoa! But he got up, he pulled the bandage off his hand, and the cut was gone. Stitches was gone. When God healed him, he took off all the cut and all the stitches. One of the coolest things I'd ever seen. I'm like, whoa! And I still didn't understand what I had. But praise God, I do now. See, I had the authority and the power in me already because the Holy Spirit was in me. He had baptized me. He had given me the authority. I didn't know what I had. And I didn't know. And I was a lot like these people here. I'd not heard so much about the Holy Ghost. I'd spoken in tongues and didn't do it very often, but every once in a while it happened. Then I'd have people when I was pastoring that would visit our churches I pastored. And it was so funny because they'd be Assembly of God, Church of God, and non-denominational, and walk up. There wouldn't be nobody around. You've been filled with the Holy Ghost, hadn't you? I'm like, how'd you know? And they said, we could see it. We could experience. We knew what you had. I didn't even know what I had. But they did, because they were in it. I'm saying that to say this. I was just like these people. I had not so much heard about this Holy Ghost. I didn't know. I knew I had the Holy Spirit in me. When I was saved, I knew I was saved. No question about it. I knew I was saved. I'd go to heaven. Right?
Right.
Even had a vision before I got filled with the Holy Ghost of me preaching behind a pulpit and getting raptured.
Sounds good.
And he said, go preach before this happens. I'm like, okay, it's kind of scared me. But I knew that I had to go preach the gospel, so he called me to preach the gospel, and I've been doing it ever since, and I've done it for most part of my life for in the Baptist church, and seen hundreds saved. Praise God. But I hadn't heard about the Holy Ghost. I didn't understand. Didn't understand. Now, well, it's been 10 years ago nearly. But now I do. Praise God. And these people say, well, you hadn't heard of the Holy Ghost. Good grief. I'm running late. And they said to him, where were you baptized? What would you baptize in the next verse if you could go there? I'm kind of paraphrasing if just a little. And they said, John's baptism. We believed and we've received, but we were baptized by John. Or John's baptism. Paul said, John verily baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him that which should come after him, that is on Jesus Christ. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. So they were saved.
Right.
They would not have baptized them if they weren't saved.
Right.
Go to the next verse, please. Then Paul done something. Paul laid his hands on them. And the Holy Ghost came upon them. What? They were saved and baptized. Right? Then Paul laid hands on them and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Because it said the Holy Ghost came. Here it is. Here's the key again. Upon them. Holy Spirit within, salvation. Holy Spirit upon, the baptism. Holy Spirit within, salvation. Holy Spirit upon, the baptism. So you get saved and baptized in water. What's on you? Is the water in you or on you when you get baptized? It's on you. Unless you drink it when you go down. Most of us are going, please don't drown me. You know. Because I'm 6'6" and I weigh a little bit. And I got baptized in a river. And I'm like, brother, you ain't big. you better hang on because my feet might come out from under me. And they did, but thank God the water baptized me and it was upon me. Same way with Holy Spirit baptism. Salvation is within. Holy Spirit is baptism. Holy Spirit is upon. And it's upon you. And Jesus himself even said this in the book of Luke, the last chapter, verse 49. I think it's chapter 20, if I'm not mistaken, verse 49. And it says, and you shall be clothed with, endued with. The word endued means clothed. And you going to find that for me real quick? 24 and 49, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, I was close. I knew it was the last chapter. I just couldn't remember which was the last chapter. And you shall be endued with power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. That's what it says. The word endued is clothed with or vested. Vest. So it's Holy Spirit upon you with power. See, there's a difference between salvation and the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
This should be a sermon series instead of a 40-minute sermon, but I've kind of condensed it. So let's go on just a little. And Paul laid hands on him, and the Holy Ghost came upon him, and they what? They spake with tongues and prophesied. So instantly, they were speaking in tongues and flowing one of the nine gifts of the Spirit. That's a whole different sermon for a whole different time. And I have a nice little outline that I didn't even use. Praise God. Because I didn't get a chance to. Because it talks about the tongues now. What are tongues? And God speaking to us through tongues for stammering lips and so forth and so on. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is a separate thing from salvation. It's a separate experience. And you need to experience this. I don't know if there's anybody here that has not been filled with the Holy Ghost. And you want to be. You need to be tonight. If you've been, if you, I'm looking through, and I know a lot of you. I know all you, actually. And I know how spiritual you guys are. And how good of a word people you are. But there might be somebody here that had never experienced the gift of tongues. Or the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speak with evidence of speaking in tongues. Did you notice that everywhere there was some kind of evidence? Everywhere? Every time there was an evidence. There was only one spot that didn't say it was tongues. Is in Acts chapter 8 when Simon said he saw it. But he had to see something. But everywhere else it says they spoke with tongues. Everywhere else. If you don't know Jesus, you need to know Him now. If you listen to my Facebook Live, all you gotta do is say, "Jesus, come in my heart," and He'll come in. You say, "I accept You as Savior." That's all you gotta do. God, forgive me of my sins. Make me, wash me, whiter than snow, and He will. Instantly, you're saved. But then you say, "God, fill me with the Holy Ghost." I've heard the Word. I've believed the Word. Because, I mean, if you believe the Word for salvation, you got to believe it for the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
You got to. I mean, I have said nothing that has not been in this Word.
Right.
All King Jimmy. All King James. Now, I'll read other chapters. My mind went blank for it. I read the Amplified Version, and I read other versions of the Bible. I do. But I'm telling you, if you hadn't been baptized with the Holy Ghost, you need to be now. So as they put a song on for us, if you want to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, I want you to come up. And we can either do it off camera or on camera, it doesn't matter. Or I can cut it off. But I'm telling you, I don't know everybody's heart. If you've never accepted Jesus as Savior, I don't know your heart. Some people can say they're saved and not be saved. I've seen church people that have been church members for years and not ever accepted Jesus. So if you need either tonight, either. I know this is, for most of you, this is nothing new. For most of you, you could teach it. Most of you could teach this as well, if not better than I do. But we've got to do what the Holy Spirit tells us to do. And He wanted this on Facebook. He wanted it out there. Because I believe the Holy Spirit gave us a word not long ago that said this was the year of unprecedented baptism of the Holy Ghost. Unprecedented. And our brother Andrew found that out when he went to Rhema. And was ministering in a cowboy church. And a whole family got filled with the Holy Ghost. Unprecedented time of people being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because people are going to learn. And the only way they're going to learn is by what I've just done tonight. It's the only way they're going to learn is by you telling them and by me telling them. And can I preach just a minute to the rest of us? Stop being scared of telling people about speaking in tongues. Enough's enough. We've been in the shadows too long. We've been hiding in the corners too long. We've been holding back and going, "I speak in tongues. You do too. That's so cool. I'm proud of it. I'm proud of it." Because for God said, "For with stammering lips and other tongues will I speak to my people." Because it builds me up in my most holy thing. So I can chase the devil down with a water pistol and put him out of his misery. I'm telling you, folks, it's time that we quit being so lazy. That was the Holy Ghost. I didn't say that, did I? Oh, that hurt me. Stop being scared. What does it matter what people think about you? I want what God says. I don't care what people think about me. Are you crazy? Pretty much. crazy for Jesus. I'm crazy for Jesus, and we got to be. I'm telling you, quit being so scared of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Quit being scared of people knowing that you speak in tongues. Well, they're going to think I'm nuts. I don't care. I don't care what they think. Most of the time, I am nuts. But that's all that matters, is Him. The song we started with, Just Give Me Jesus. See, that's all you need. That's all you need. Whatever they think doesn't make a hill of beans. Whatever everybody else thinks, I may lose a lot of Facebook friends. I really don't care. I love them. I love them. And I'm going to do my best to reach everybody I can for Jesus. And I'm going to tell them about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because with it, it changes your life. It makes you something different. Am I right? Because you're fresh. You're new. Does it change you? Does it change your outlook? Yeah, it does. You older ones that's been in it for a long time, where would you be without it? Where would you be without this baptism of the Holy Ghost? Where would you be? Where would you be without praying in tongues? Would you be in a new house? I mean, seriously, I don't know. Without the teaching that you've had about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and word of faith and knowing how to speak life, would you be in a brand new house? I don't know. I'm telling you, God's got it. If we'll ever learn who we are, and it all goes back down to who we are in Christ and what God has for us, and He's got so much more than you can ever imagine. He can take you to places that you can't even imagine. He can translate you from here to yonder. And I promise you, me and Sandy was translated driving home from Texarkana one time. We were listening to Candy LaFlora. One CD is 74 minutes long. 80 minutes if they're super long. We went across the entire state of Arkansas and there was still songs left on a CD. That's not possible. We were in Mississippi. You didn't even realize where we were. Am I right, Sandy? What, the CD did not start over. I'm driving the backwoods of Arkansas from Texarkana to the Mississippi River, and one CD had not finished. And it wasn't MP3s either. It was a flat-out CD. And we're like, how did we get in Mississippi? She said, I don't know. She looked at me. She said, Jerry, how did we get here? The CD's still going. I said, CD is 80 minutes long, tops. It's not a DVD. It's not 4 hours long. It's an 80-minute or 70-minute CD. It's only like 11 songs. It wasn't many. And we went from Texarkana, cut it on, to Mississippi River, and it was still two or three songs left. We wanted to get home. We were ready to. God said, there you go. And we come out of it and we're like, what in the world just happened? And we didn't even realize what had happened to us. But we had to be, it had to be. Because we were just like, hey, see, God can do those things. Once you get into this, once you understand, there's more about the spiritual life that is real than your physical life. The spirit realm is real. And this speaking in tongues is real. If we'll get a hold of what God has for us, it will change your life. And God bless you. And nobody wants to come. Everybody's full of the Holy Ghost already. Everybody's already saved, filled, healed, whole, delivered, set free. Goodness. If you will follow my word, saith the Lord, I will bring you to a new place where the grace is flowing, a new flow that will bring you into a new way, a new walk, a new life, a new experience with me. It will be nothing outside of the word. He said, there will be nothing outside of this word, but I will bring you to a place where you'll know and you'll experience my love. Whew. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So God bless you. Amen. God bless you, Pastor. If you got anything to say, it's all you, brother.
I just want to say thank you. Wonderful job. And I hope you took notes tonight. If not, get the podcast. And that'll stay up for a while, won't it, Jared? Yes. So it was very well done to prove out the fact that salvation, tongues, two different things. And we used to call it the second blessing. And it certainly is. So receive the Holy Ghost. Receive Jesus. Receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Thank you all. Y'all are wonderful and precious. Hallelujah. Have a great week this week. Amen. It's not going to flood this week. Hallelujah. Father, dismiss us now in the power of your word, the knowledge of your word. And Lord God, may we leave this place filled with the Holy Spirit, walking in power, walking in love, walking in wisdom with supernatural power. Ever present, we are your children, endued with power from on high. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Praise God. Y'all give the Lord and give Jerry a big hand clap. Thank you. In the sound booth, thank you. Great job, as always. And thank you all for being here. God loves you, and so do we.